I want to get that sound out in case Sister Sarah has to step out for a little bit or anyone else. So we'll follow her right in the hall. I need your prayers this morning as I stand before you, but I want to say how good it is to be here. I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord, and I certainly feel that this morning. Enjoyed very much the meeting down at Old Mill, and had a communion service there, and a good sweet fellowship. And I'm just thankful this morning we can come up in this part of the country and enjoy a meeting such as that one, where we feel the manifest presence of the Lord. I felt the singing was especially good, and thank God for that. I know you're praying for me, and that means a great deal to me. I want to ask you just to do that each time I stand before you. I tend to always open in trying to speak to the Lord's people by requesting that they pray, because I want you to be reminded of the need of the blessing of Almighty God in order to preach the gospel. So if you haven't prayed already for this meeting, begin right now and just pray and ask the Lord, as you sit there in the pew, ask the Lord just to bless this preaching, that it would be to the honor and praise of the Lord. I've enjoyed reading Brother Stan's letter. That seemed to be, as Brother Stan does everything with such great care and detail, just seemed to express so much. I know our church has a love for Zion's Rest Church and for Brother Stan, which, by the way, he wanted me to remind some of you that he hadn't seen in a while, that he hadn't seen you in a while. And he wanted me to be sure and let you know that they would just love to have you visit this weekend if you're able. I did explain that sometimes those who've been able have not as able as they used to be. That didn't seem to help him a whole lot, but I told him that, and do hope and pray that all that can will go and be with those dear brethren. I think of the many friends that I have over the country and have had in the fellowship of the Lord's people, and what a blessing they've been to me in my life, and how special the Lord has been and giving us good friends like you and like the brethren at Old Mill and other places. And we have so very much to be thankful for this morning, don't we? If we only had blessings in this life, you know, we would indeed be a blessed people, but that life is not just about here. It's eternal life. It's a life we have here in this world that we get a little taste of that eternal life while we're living here in this world. If I have any subject matter on my mind this morning, it's about the eternal life that the Lord gives us, and about us enjoying that eternal life, not awaiting the time that we die to begin to enjoy that, but right now embracing what the Lord has done. And as much as we are enabled by the grace of God to keep our body under subjection, to lay hold on to these wonderful things the Lord has given us, so that our days may be enriched with His manifest presence, and that we would not just have the life eternal, but that we'd lay hold on it. We'd lay hold on to eternal life and embrace what the Lord has done and really enjoy realizing it's God who's done it, and realizing He's with us. No matter what your circumstances are, if you can feel the Lord's presence, this morning I hope we all can feel His presence. And we desire that. We can feel that the Lord is near, that the Lord is with us. Sometimes we can be in a meeting and feel like the Lord's with them, but I can't really feel that He's with me. And that is a comforting thing, to know that the Lord can be with men and women who, if we got down to what we deserved, none of us deserve His presence, do we? None of us have earned it or merited it. None of us have done anything to gain it. Though we ought to be doing a whole lot, if we did everything that the Lord would tell us to do and has told us to do in His Word, and we did it completely, there's enough wrong with us that if it was based on merit, none of us would gain anything from the Lord. The righteousness we have has been imputed unto us by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's His righteousness given to us. The love that we have to love God and to love one another has been given to us by Almighty God. We didn't start that. We didn't manufacture that. The peace that you might feel, and I do feel you feel some peace. You might not feel as much peace as you want to, and I hope you feel as you go out the door more at peace than you did when you came in. I hope your peace can grow, because the more you embrace the life eternal, the eternal life, the more you embrace what the Lord has given you by His grace, the more you're going to feel the love and the joy and the peace and the fruit of the Spirit that the Lord has provided for us by His grace. And one of the greatest places you can feel that is at a little gathering just like this, which is not just any place. It's the place the Lord has designed. If we're truly the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're meeting under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're meeting according to the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are practicing in the way the Bible has taught us to practice in the worship of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's a very, very special place. I told the brethren yesterday, and probably going to repeat a whole lot of y'all weren't there, so I can tell y'all here. It's like a little heaven here below. And our old Baptist songs are filled with that thought. Throughout those hymn books you'll see, and throughout the Word of God you'll see that He's lifted us up, raised us up to sit together in heavenly places in Christ. That in my Father's house are many mansions. We know there's an eternal home that's awaiting God's little children, but there's also many blessings that have been purchased for us by the grace of Almighty God. Places, if you will, of heavenly abode where we feel the Lord's presence that are right here for us, here even as we live here in this world. I pray this morning for us as God's little children is such a place. And it'll be that place, not because I'm here and speaking, or not because you're there and listening, but because the Lord has manifested His presence. I believe we had a little place like that over in that nursing home the other day when we were praying, and when we were with Brother Daniel and praying, or when we were riding up the road in the car and thinking about the Lord. And I believe if you think about your life, His handprint and His presence has been all over your life where you have felt His manifest presence in your life. When you feel that presence, I'm telling you, don't worry about things like you do when you don't. And when you feel that presence, even though you might be in the midst of trouble and heartache, listen, they felt His presence in a fiery furnace. That wouldn't have been a very pleasant place, naturally speaking, to be. But I'm telling you, that was the best place to be on that occasion, walking in a fiery furnace with Jesus, the Son of God, walking amongst them. They were cast in bound, but they walked free in the fire, loosed by the power of Almighty God. I hope you are loose, and I hope you get more loose. Not loose in a sensuous way, not loose in the way the world talks about, but that you might today find the real gain that's to be had in laying hold on eternal life. This is not an action of a dead alien sinner. It's the action of a born-again, regenerated little child of God. It's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but it is of God who showeth mercy. We believe that here. That's what we want to preach. We're not going to tell you to wake up from the dead and go get light, because the dead can't hear the gospel. The dead can't understand the gospel. The dead can't feel the gospel. But I'll tell you what, once God has awakened you and made you alive, you see an attraction. When you come to the house of God and you see the love that flows among the brethren, and you feel something move in your heart when you sing the hymns that honor and glorify God. And the preaching of the gospel can get right in there and break you down and knock you down and stir you up at the same time. It can lay out the fact that you, are without the Lord, are lost and undone, that there's nothing good about me. I've sinned and come short of the glory of God. And if I got what I deserved, it would be to be cast away from Him eternally in a place of torment. But rather than that, the Lord has blessed me by His grace and His mercy. And because of what He's done for me, I have a sweet hope of one day being with Him in heaven. Do you long for that? Do you desire that? I do. And the older I go in this world, get in this world, the closer it becomes, the more I long to get out of this old trouble world, to get out of this old body of clay to get to, you know, to lay this old house, as that one guy wrote in one of the songs that we hear sometimes. This old house is getting, you know, the shutters are getting, they're breaking down, and the paint's cracking up, and the old body of clay is wearing out. But there awaits God's little children an eternal place of rest that I long one day to be with the Lord forever in glory. But while I'm here, I want to have all the gain that I can get, and I want that gain to be the right kind of gain. The Apostle Paul taught the young preacher Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6 about what was true gain and what was false gain. And that's so important for us to know, because this world will not teach you that. This world will teach you everything contrary to the Word of God. That's why we need to come to the house of God to be taught and to study the Word of God, and then to come to feed on what it teaches, so that we might know what truth is and what is error. Because there's so much called truth in this world that is nothing at all but error, even taught from the pulpits all around us. And it can enter here if we're not careful and not listening. Try the spirits. The Bible teaches us that in 1 John chapter 4. Try the spirits to see whether they be of God. For all spirits, we're to search the scriptures to see if the one who is preaching is teaching the word. And we're to be faithful brethren in doing that. I'd like to read to you this morning from 1 Timothy chapter 6. We'll begin right at verse 3. The Apostle Paul to the young preacher Timothy in this particular passage is talking about the gain that is the world's idea of gain, and gain that is really truly gain. And there is gain that is not gain, and there is gain that is gain. And I'm glad and thankful. I want us today to embrace the gain that is truly gain, that we might really enjoy what the Lord has given us and begin to grow in knowledge and the truth of that. He says here in verse 3 of 1 Timothy chapter 6, he said, "If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself." He's laying out here what isn't true gain. He says, if any man teach otherwise. So when I come this morning, I want to teach. I want to be a teacher. I want to teach God's little children. I'm not here to please the world. I'm not here to satisfy the appetites of the world. I'm really, in a sense, not here to please you, though I don't want to hurt you. I love you. You are my brothers and my sisters. You're the beloved of the Lord. I want to be careful how I talk to you. I don't want to be offensive in my way and in my manner, but I want to preach. If I'm going to preach, I want to preach and teach the truth. I want to preach what the Lord gives us in His Word. I want to follow what the truth is. I don't want to just give you my opinion or my view. I want to preach and teach what God's Word says. What we have before us in the Bible are the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those words were given unto the apostles. Those apostles and men were moved by the Spirit of Almighty God. Both the Old Testament, it was given unto the prophets, and under the New Testament, given unto the apostles and those that were blessed and called of God to write the Scripture. They were moved by God to pin these things down. And when you read the teachings of the Bible, you're reading and learning about the apostles' doctrine, which was also the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul told us to teach those things to others. He said these were delivered unto faithful men that they may be able to teach others also. So what I want to teach this morning? Well, I want to teach wholesome words. Wholesome words won't make you sick, you know. Wholesome words will build you up. Wholesome words will encourage you. Wholesome words will enlighten you. Wholesome words will fill the little hungering child. It'll feed the little child among who's met. And we all should come as newborn babes, desiring the sincere milk of the Word. It'll feed them, but it'll also feed those that are of age with meat. So we want to preach what? The whole counsel of God. We want to preach the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. He said, if any man teach otherwise, so obviously there are some that are teaching otherwise, and I'm telling you, you need to try the spirits. You need to hear the preaching. And whether it'll be among an old Baptist church where they meet or wherever any man stands in the pulpit and professes to teach the Bible, you should listen to what's being said, and you should take your Bibles and try it according to the Word of God to be sure that the words that are being said are wholesome words. That they are that which is in accord to the Son of God, what He gave to the apostles, and what the apostles gave to faithful men, and which faithful men have been given to teach others also. And that's what we should be preaching and teaching. If I come today and talk about something else, it's not going to build you up. It's going to tear you down. It's not going to bring the flock together. It's going to scatter the flock. It's not going to cause us to grow in grace and knowledge of the truth. It may cause your ears to tickle and you may feel real good about it. There are many people today whose main goal is to make sure the congregation that they have today stays the congregation they're going to have next week, and they want to make them happy. And rather than preaching to the truth to God's little children, they're preaching something that will be the enticing words of men's wisdom and bring in those who want to get their ears scratched. I hope you're not here to get your ears scratched today. Because I'm not, I hope, I pray I don't scratch your ears. I hope I make you feel good in the Lord. I hope I make you happy in the Lord. But I hope I don't help you in any way to build up your old self and thinking you're something you're not, or thinking I'm something I'm not. But rather than thinking we are anything, we'll go out the door saying we are nothing, but by the grace of God, we are God's children. And that's what wholesome words do. You know what the wholesome words do? They put man in his place, which is not a very high position at all. As a matter of fact, we're altogether vanity. We're all lighter. We're nothing. If you put us on the scale and weigh our good works versus our bad works, I'll tell you what, our good works do not really exist. They're lighter than vanity. And all our righteousness, even our very best, is but as filthy rags. And there is none good, no, not one. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that, someone said, that doesn't make me feel good. I'm telling you, that's wholesome doctrine. That's wholesome. Why? Because it makes you understand what the Lord's done for me. No, I'm not anything, but my Lord loved those who were not anything. I'm a sinner, but my Lord came to save sinners. He didn't come to make the well better. He came to make the sick better. Are you sick? Are you brokenhearted? Are you feel there's no hope for you? I'm telling you, it is He, those who feel that way, that God has opened them up to see their sin, that He came and died for and paid the sin debt for. And that doctrine is to be preached and declared to God's little children, that they may lay hold onto that which the Lord has done for them, not in order to get it to be a reality, but in order to get them to have the peace that comes in embracing what the Lord has done. I want you to embrace what the Lord's done. I'm telling you, the Lord's died for you. If you're His and you belong to Him, He came for you. He said in that wonderful prayer that is really the Lord's prayer in John 17, and I love the language there, those first two verses. John 17 says this. He says, these words spake Jesus and lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee. He's talking about going to the cross of Calvary. He's talking about dying there. He's talking about going to the grave. He's talking about coming forth from the great victorious. He's talking about being seated on the right hand of the Father, sitting there making intercession for His people. He's talking about a finished work at Calvary that He did and accomplished. And He's saying, this hour is come. And He says in verse 2, He says, as Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. Now, who is it that the Lord gives eternal life to? Those that He foreknew before the very foundation of the world. Those that He predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. Those that in time He calls. And you say, well, have I been called? I'm telling you, has the Lord awakened you to the reality that you're lost and undone without Him? Has the Lord allowed you to see that there's no hope for you but Jesus? There's no help for you but Jesus. There's no friend that can help you but Jesus. Mama can't help me. Daddy can't help me. My family can't help me. And I surely can't help myself. And I might turn to the church, but they can't help me. There's only one who can truly help you, and that's the friend of sinners. That's the one that came and for His great love wherewith He loved you. The Father sent His only begotten Son, and Jesus came and died for you and purchased heaven and immortal glory for you, that you one day might be with Him forever in heaven. And I'll tell you, this life is but a vapor. It's here for a while and it's soon gone. One day we're going to be with the Lord. What a glorious day that will be. And yet there's something to live for today. There's some gain to be had. I've already had some gain this morning as we sang those hymns that honor the Lord. And we talked about Jesus. Tell me the story of Jesus. And I heard the wonderful hymns that had been sung this morning. And I felt the presence of the Lord. I felt a great gain in being here. I felt like I was able to lay in time right now as I live. I was able to lay hold on eternal life. And there's some language in the Bible that tells us that. Get this. He says, as thou hast given Him power over all flesh. Now, who does He have power over? Every one of His children. Somebody said, but if you don't embrace the Lord, He can't do a thing for you. I want you to know that's not the God of the Bible. Some people say you got to do it all. If you don't grab it, hold on to it and keep it. And it's true. If you could grab it and hold on to it, you could certainly let loose and let it go, couldn't you? You could certainly lose out on that salvation. If you could gain it for yourself, you could certainly lose it for yourself. But I'm telling you, by our flesh and through our own carnality and natural mindedness, none of us would have ever chosen God. None of us would have loved God. None of us would have called upon Him. And if we were left in that state, which some men are left in that state, we would never choose God. It seems foolish to me today to think a man would think there's no God. Doesn't that seem foolish to you? That a man would say there's no God? There are many men today who are saying there's no God. And I'm telling you, if God's grace hadn't awakened us to the reality of His presence, you and I would say it right along with them. And think anybody who was sitting here at a church on a Sunday morning is certainly is wasting time. I don't feel this is a waste of time this morning. I don't believe you do either. The Lord's been good to us, and we have every reason to be here today to thank Him. I want to thank Him for the job that He's given me, and the life that He's given me, and the calling that He's given me. And I want to thank Him for my family and for the nation that He's allowed me to live in. And I want to thank Him especially for the spiritual blessings that I've had in His church down through the years, for the times I've been at baptizings, and the times I've been at communion services, and the times I've been so happy in the Lord I didn't really care, you know, all your aches and pains kind of go away. I'm thankful for forgiveness that He's allowed us to have in our families so that we can get through the problems of life, which if it wasn't for forgiveness, we'd never make it through. I'm telling you, a family would never stay together unless they can turn to one another and say, I forgive you, and be able not only to say it, but to mean it. And there's only one way we've ever learned forgiveness, and that's to realize how much the Lord has forgiven me. And if He's forgiven me of all that, and I want you to know that. Don't let the devil tell you otherwise. If you love Him today, if you want to love Him, it's an evidence He first loved you and that He has forgiven you of every sin that you've ever committed. Somebody wants to say, well, that's just an easy way out. No, this is not an easy way out. It's a wonderful way that the Lord, it's grace, but it's grace that causes you to change. It's grace that makes you a new creature. It's a grace that doesn't just make you sorry you got caught, but sorry that you were what you were, and thankful that the Lord has no longer left you in that state, but that He's washed you in His own blood, and you're no longer the same. You're different. You're a new creature, created in Christ Jesus, and He's called you unto good works. Now, I'll tell you today, when you walk in those things, you are laying hold on eternal life. He said this, and thou hast given Him power over all flesh that He should give. And what is He going to do? Offer? No. Give eternal life. To who? To as many as thou hast given Him. Everyone that was known of the Father and a covenant of grace before the foundation of the world, an elect family. And that's not heard much in this world, is it? You can turn on the airways, you won't hear much about election. You may even have those who preach those clear passages, or at least say and read those clear passages of Scripture, and they'll gloss over them and leave them. Listen, that's not wholesome words. You leave out election, you leave a wholesome word. You leave a predestination and God's choice of His people. You leave a wholesome word. You leave out God's calling, which is effectual to every child of God. You leave out wholesome words. If you leave out the justification of the Lord's people, which says He paid the sin debt for every one of them, you leave out wholesome words. And He said, if those don't consent to wholesome words, you don't have fellowship with them. And if you leave out glorification, well, you've just left it all out. Because see, this old world, I said it earlier, it's been wonderful to live this life. But if all we had in this life, the Apostle Paul said, if hope in Christ was all that was just in this life only, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Because it's just a little, our life is so short. Job said, naked came I from my mother's womb, and naked I'll go. And he says that over in Job 1. He says, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I remind you that Job said that after his entire family had been wiped out from him. All the blessings that God had given him, that dear old saint, rather than doing what his wife said, just curse God and die, he was faithful to say, the Lord gives, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, I came into this world, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. And somebody would say, well, Job was just mixed up. No, the Bible says otherwise, doesn't it? The next verse even says it. In this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Not one thing. The wise man Solomon over in Ecclesiastes 5, he says this about how we came into this world. And there's so much here to read about the very thing I was trying to talk about. The emptiness of gain of this world, the vanity of riches. And it's not really talking about being rich. It's talking about desiring to be rich. That's what it's talking about. There's a big difference. A lot of people are rich, and the Lord's blessed them to be rich, and their riches are blessings to them and blessings to those that are around them. There's nothing wrong with that. But when we want to be rich, when the rich want to be richer and the poor want to be rich, and that becomes our focus and that becomes our desire, and don't you see that desire leading our nation even down the wrong path? The most important thing that we can have in our lives is fellowship with God, and leave the food and the raiment to the blessings of God that He has provided for us as we do what He would have us to do. And if we have food and raiment, which means you have food enough on your table. I told him down at Danville yesterday, I've got so much food that I can't hardly keep in raiment because I'm eating too much. And you don't want that much food. Listen, you have food and raiment, which means you have food to eat, but you have raiment. You have raiment as clothing to wear and a house and a place to live in. I'll tell you, you and I live in this country and in this nation like kings. We sit sometimes and worry about the house we have and whether it's good enough or as good as this one or as good as that one. I'm telling you, the least of the homes that we have compared to what they... Look at what they have in Haiti and other places around the world. Those folks would see our homes as mansions. And I'm telling you, sometimes you and I are sitting there complaining about what the Lord has given us. And we ought to remember this, what He taught us in Matthew. Your life is more than... and meat and drink and you know, and leave those things. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. To seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things that the Gentiles seek after shall be added unto you. And this is growing and getting bigger and bigger, and time is already, well, it's gone. He says, but those riches perish by evil travail, and he begetteth the son, and there is nothing in his hand. Look at what he says in verse 15, he says, and as he came forth of his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came, and shall take nothing of his labor, which he may carry away in his hand. And this also is a sore evil, that in all points as he came, so shall he go. And what profit hath he that he hath labored for the wind? You ever felt like you're just laboring for the wind? Laboring for the wind. And he says, all his days also he eateth in darkness, and he hath much sorrow and wrath with his sickness. Boy, that's a sad state, isn't it? What that means is a little brother or sister who misses the most important thing here in this world, and that is sweet fellowship with the Lord. And very quickly, verse 3 says, "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." That they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. What a blessing it is today for us to know Him. Not just to know about Him, but to know Him. Not just to hear about Him and sing about Him, but to feel Him. This is a knowing like He's present. This is an awareness of Him. This is to be understanding that He is with us. This is like in your mind or literally setting a place for Him at the dinner table. This is like in a meeting, remembering He has a seat here. And the most important seat. It's like when you're riding down the road, remembering He is that one who's in the car with us. It'll change your conversation. It'll change your attitude. Remember when you go home and you're there by yourself or with your family. He's present in your home. Remember when you're watching television. He's present as you're looking. And when you're talking to this individual or talking about this individual or whatever you might be doing, He's that constant companion. Have you ever had a little brother or a sister that helped you when they were around because you knew when they were around, I'm going to act a little better, I'm going to talk a little better, I'm going to behave a little better, and they are a great, great blessing to you. I want you to remember this, Jesus is ever present with you. And if you know Him, and you can feel Him, then you are enjoying that life eternal. Listen, life eternal doesn't just start when you die. A lot of people think you just make it through this whole world, and when you die, you get to enjoy eternal life. If you're born of His Spirit, you've got eternal life right now abiding in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory, is your life. He's the way, He's the truth, and He's the life, and He is within you. And He is blessing you today. There is gain to be had. Not the gain of this world, not the riches of this world, but there is true gain. He says what it is. He said, godliness with contentment is gain. Let me get back over to the text, and I want to go about another half an hour, an hour. I'll just be honest with you. I'm not going to, but I want to. Some of you looked at the watch and said, whoa, whoa. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Hear me. Godliness with contentment. Godliness is a commitment. A commitment just to what we're doing today, if indeed we're here to worship the Lord. To not only do it on Sunday, but to do it as you walk out of this place. To seek, O man of God, he says in verse 11, but thou, O man of God, flee these things. Flee those things that he said, you know, you do. You fight against those things. There's a warfare that's going on. A desire in our hearts after the man, a natural man, to go after these things. You flee these things and seek after the things he's talked about here. He says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness and godliness and faith, love, patience, meekness, and fight the good fight of faith. And lay hold on eternal life. Fight the good fight of faith. Now, it's a fight. It's a fight. You say, well, I feel like I'm in a fight. Well, you are in a fight. It's a fight. It's a fight. Believe Him. Trust Him. He said, well, I feel like I've got so much unbelief. Well, you look to Him to help your unbelief. He will. You say, well, I feel like I feel a pull to go to the things of this world. Yes, there is a pull, but you resist that, old man of God, little child of God. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world, and He'll give you strength as you look to Him and you lean upon Him. He'll help you walk as His disciple. He'll help you to keep your mouth closed when you want to talk. He'll help you to forgive your brother or your sister or your neighbor or your friend. He'll help you in this world to walk in a way to honor and glorify Him, because He's called you to do that. And the life eternal that awaits you in heaven, He has given to you right now in time to enjoy. And may it be a little heaven for us here below every day we live. May we find it worth living. It'll help you in your homes and in your families and on the job. Listen, what we're talking about isn't just something that sounds good on paper. There's a lot of things that sound good on paper. But this you can take and put on in your life and wear it. And it will help you practically in every day, every way, as you go along, live in a way to honor and glorify the Lord. And that doesn't mean you're going to get the gain of this world. It may mean you lose some of the things of this world. I'll tell you what he said about those things. You're going to lose them anyway. You're not going to keep them. I'm done. I'm not done, but I'm going to stop. I appreciate your kind attention. And brethren, may the Lord help us to see what's true gain and flee the things that are called gain in this world, that we might embrace that which is the true gain that comes from the Lord. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you.
I love you, my brother. Hope that was okay.